three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10.
Pittsburgh Section, National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History 2, Ruth Adelson and Hope Layton, interviewing Rita Gould, December the 9th, 1997. Rita, would you please tell us your address?
I live at 4601 Fifth Avenue, Pittsburgh 15212.
Okay. Rita, can I go ahead?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Rita, could you tell us something about your immediate family, your father, your mother, your siblings? And we'd like to know if there was any members of special significance, rabbis, scholars, community leaders. I think maybe we'll put some emphasis on your grandparents who helped to found the Tree of Life. Okay, let's start with your mother and dad and your siblings.
Well, my mother was Nellie Gould. My father was Samuel Gould. And my father was the son of Abraham and Anna Goldstein. And Abraham was the shamus at the Tree of Life Synagogue, which started down on Ross Street and eventually moved to Craft Avenue in Oakland. And he and my grandmother lived above the shul. And I remember my young days going down and playing down in their apartment and going down into the shul. Just let it in. And I've many happy days down there. My grandfather taught Hebrew to a lot of the people who became prominent executives in Pittsburgh. And in fact, now the Tree of Life named the Hebrew school after my grandfather. It's called the Abraham Goldstein Hebrew School at the Tree of Life, which is on Wilkinson Shady now.
Was he one of the early members? Was it a new synagogue when he became the shamus? Did he help to found it?
No, it had already, I think, been found.
I see.
And I think he came here as, that's, you know, in mm-hmm. other words, he came here for that purpose.
Okay.
What year are we talking about that your grandparents were, let's say, born in? How far back are we going?
Well, my father was born in 1888. So, I guess, and he was, he had a sister that was older. So it probably would have been like late 1870, yeah. Well,
or maybe early 80s.
80s, yeah. Somewhere about the late 1870s or 1880.
They were born, no, we're talking about...
He was coming, that my grandfather came here.
Came here, okay.
Yes.
Okay. Where did they come from?
They came from Russia.
Okay.
And he, you know, and he... taught and took care of the, you know, of the shul, and my grandmother helped him, and she was active. I think she started the ladies group.
Did she?
In the, yes, in the shul. And at that time, of course, they had a lot of very, very prominent members in Pittsburgh, and I guess they would have had the more prominent ones along, and then Brother Schulman had more of the German people, and it was quite an active congregation, and that was in the days when people fought to become president. And my father told me that they used to have a policeman at the annual meeting because there would be so much commotion, you know, and people arguing over who was going to become the president.
Was your father American born?
Yes.
Okay.
My father was.
Tell
American
us something
born.
About your father.
My father was a very, very scholarly man. My father really only went through, I think, about eighth or ninth grade, but I really feel that he could have taught in college. By profession, he worked in the food, wholesale food business. For for M. Robinson's company. He was a partner in there and was basically in sales. But he was very, very well read, and in all religions, and in all types of literature. And he also was a very avid music collector of records. And in fact, when the National Record Mart first started, he really kept them in business and had a very prominent collection, and was so prominent that at times when people would call the National Record Mart for certain music that they didn't have, they'd say if anyone had it, Mr. Gould would, so that people would call us. And so our home was always open to people, and my mother had a wonderful sense of humor and was very warm and loved people. And my friends always came to the home. It wasn't because of me, it was because they enjoyed my parents so much. Mm-hmm. And as I said, my father was very learned, and they enjoyed talking to him. He could talk on any level. And so it was, I grew up in a very, very warm, loving, and a very, very happy home.
And cultured.
And very cultured. Mm-hmm. And it's probably why I never left it.
Sounds pretty good to me.
So we had a really very nice life together, and then my mother died in 1972.
At what age?
And she was, she was just going to turn 81. Mm-hmm. And my father died in 1976 at the age of 88. And whereas I was very close with my mother, I was very grateful for the last 4 years with my father to really become close, the two of us. Not that we weren't close before, but we really had a wonderful relationship. Mm-hmm. I feel really, really fortunate for those years.
What was your mother's maiden name?
Her name was Nellie Goldstein.
Mm-hmm.
And my father's name, of course, was Goldstein. But because of the problem with Jewish people getting jobs,
mm-hmm.
my father decided it was best to change it, and he changed it to Gould.
I see. And your was your grandmother's maiden name Goldstein also?
That I don't know.
What did you say her name was?
Anna.
Anna.
Anna Goldstein. I just called her she.
Oh,
she
because they went
Abraham.
And your grandfather's name was Abraham Goldstein.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't under. I
it's
thought it was
Anna and Abraham
Goldstein.
Goldstein.
I thought it was Gould.
Right.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
No.
It was Gould. Your dad changed the name.
That's
did he
right.
do it legally or just?
Yes.
Yes, he,
yes
did.
He did.
Okay. I see. And your mother's maiden name was also Goldstein.
Was Goldstein. There was a very, very distant, I think, relationship.
I
there.
See.
There could, I think my mother said that there was a very, very distant
okay.
relationship.
There were a lot of Goldsteins.
Yes, yes.
Too. Okay. And your brothers and brothers?
My brother, Alan Gould. My sister is the oldest, Corrine. Corrine Haber. And she is 14 years older than me.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother, Alan Gould, is 7 years older than me.
I see.
And so I was a baby. And we are a very, very close family,
mm-hmm.
and have always been close and kept in touch with
each and yours, so they're both living?
Yes.
Right.
My sister is living now, and she was married to Dr. Harvey Haber, who was a podiatrist who unfortunately died in 1969. She's been a widow for a long time. And my brother Alan lives in Canada,
mm-hmm.
in Hamilton, Ontario.
Mm-hmm.
And he's married and has family.
Right. Tell us something about your growing up. For instance, how did you observe holidays? I imagine you all belonged to Tree of Life.
We all belonged to Tree of Life,
okay.
Yes. We were not what you would say excessively Jewish.
You mean observant?
Of Well, I mean, yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, because of my grandfather. We went to services, mm-hmm. but my mother did not keep kosher.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandparents still came to our home for meals and for holidays.
Mm-hmm.
However, I do remember for Pesach we used to go down to Craft Avenue for big sales, which uh-huh. were very nice with all the brothers and sisters and their families, mm-hmm. and that was really very, very nice. But we observed, and I went to Sunday school at the Tree of Life, and but as the years went on, the Tree of Life really, you know, went down in membership because it was in Oakland, and that's why mm-hmm. Rabbi Halpern really worked hard to get them to Squirrel Hill, where the Jewish population was.
Right.
So, we observed, you know, we observed the holidays, and my parents usually went to Friday night services,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and... But I would not say that we were overly, you know, uh-huh. Observant.
You wouldn't call yourselves Orthodox?
Not in any way. We
okay.
were conservative and
uh-huh.
and more conservative reform.
Your grandparents, too, were not terrible?
My grandparents, no. My grandmother always said if she had it to do over again, she wouldn't keep kosher.
I see.
But they were very modern thinking, and that's why... even with Rabbi Halpern when he came in. He uh-huh. was a very modern thinking rabbi. In fact, I think more modern than they are today, that the rabbis mm-hmm. that are there today
mm-hmm. uh-huh.
tend more toward the Orthodox.
Right.
And he was the one that really, I would say, brought them forward
mm-hmm.
With the conservative movement. And, but
how about your mother's parents? Can you tell us something about them?
They were dead, so I really
okay.
never knew them.
Okay. Was your mother born in this country?
My mother was born in this country,
okay.
yes.
Okay. Tell us something about growing up. You're in that household, where you lived, you know, where you went to, what it was
well,
like.
Well, I went, when I first went to H.B. Davis School,
mm-hmm.
and I kid now, I say I started out there, and I may wind up there.
I said the same thing.
because of it being a nursing home now.
it's funny.
I said the same
it's
thing.
It's funny, yeah, it's
yeah.
true.
But I lived on Wendover Street, and we lived there for a number of years, and then we moved to Beacon Street, and I went to Whiteman School, which was really, it was like a private school, at that time, and then I went to Alderdice until the 10th grade, and I went to Winchester Thurston, and that's where I graduated. And I had a very, I guess, normal upbringing, and did all the usual things that young people do at that time, and as I said, had a very, very happy, secure home.
How did your family spend time together?
Well, in those days, a car was a big thing.
Yeah.
Going out for rides in the summer, going to Howard Johnson's was a big treat.
Mm-hmm.
Going to Kennywood.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget, we didn't have television in those days, so, you know, going out for things like that or going to shows. And I remember, not that my mother was not a political person, but she used to take me when there would be rallies for FDR or some of the candidates at Forbes Field or sometimes in the area. We would go to some of those to see,
mm-hmm.
you know, see some of those people that were running.
Mm-hmm.
And my folks were really not at all political in any way.
Mm-hmm.
But we went to movies, and they took me to the theater, to concerts, and we traveled. Every summer we went to Atlantic City. I have very, very happy memories of summers in Atlantic City.
Did you all go, your
yes.
brother and sister?
Yes, we all
uh-huh.
went as a family.
Uh-huh.
and really, you know, had good times there. Mm-hmm. And then as I got older, we traveled, we went to Florida. My mother had a very, very dear friend in New York, so, who had formerly lived in Pittsburgh. And so I used to go there with her and visit, and that's where I got introduced to the New York theater, mm-hmm. and the culture scene there. Mm-hmm. And then we took several cruises, and remember when I got older.
And your mother and your dad?
My mother and dad and I.
Oh, yes, well, that's
it
lovely.
Started out on the old Ile-de-France, mm-hmm. which was quite a thrill. It was quite an experience. And,
where did you cruise to?
That was to the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so that started me traveling, and mm-hmm. from then on I really always liked to travel and see the world, and so I just kept on.
Well, you had a rather privileged childhood.
I did, in that I think the way I was raised, really, it was almost really like an only child, and a sister mm-hmm. that was 14 years older. After all, she got married and was mm-hmm. out on her own, and then Alan went to the service,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and so I was really alone at home. Mm-hmm. So I was, I would say, when you say privileged, but mm-hmm. I would always say that I appreciated what I had. I wasn't a spoiled brat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Tell us about school. You said you went to Whiteman School, which was kind mm-hmm. of a... like a private school in
at
itself.
That time, because right. you used to see all the chauffeurs there picking up all of the rich children, and you know, mm-hmm. and it was a very, very nice environment there.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, you know, educationally, it was a good school.
How about Alderdice?
Alderdice, I went for several years, and then I really wanted to go to Wellesley, and at that time, they said that, you know, from Alderdice it was very difficult to get into Wellesley Smith Vassar. Mm-hmm. And so it was decided that I would go to Winchester, which would give me more opportunity to go to one of those schools. However, of course, there was a known quota at that
right.
time. And my mother and I went for an interview. Miss Mitchell, who was the headmistress and owner of the school, interviewed me, right off the bat told us, she said, of course, you know, we have our quota. And nothing more was said about that. And she talked to me, and then when we left, my mother said, if you get in the school, you'll get in on your own, because at that time, most of the Jewish people had somebody who helped them get in with pool or
sure.
whatever. But my mother said, if you get in, you know, it will be on your own. We're not going to ask anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I had just started to Alderdice that September in the 10th grade, and mm-hmm. we got the call that if I wanted to come, there was an opening for me.
Oh, at Winchester. Oh, you were talking about Winchester.
Yes. Oh, yes.
I thought you were talking about Wellesley.
Oh,
you
thought
Winchester.
I did,
oh.
too.
No.
Okay,
no,
this is a quota. Oh, I remember how tough it was.
Yes,
yeah.
So I'm talking about Winchester.
Right.
And so I went through Winchester and really got a fine education, and then I decided I didn't want to go to a girls' school.
Mm-hmm.
And I applied to the University of Michigan. I was accepted. But then the war was over, and the boys were coming home, and I got a letter that it was a state-endowed school, and therefore the living, they didn't have enough living space.
The GI Bill kids
yes.
were all gone.
So that were for the boys that were coming home, and so there wasn't enough dorm space, and if I wanted to come, I would have to find my own living. Well, I really, I was not a mature young woman,
mm-hmm.
I can tell you that. I was really, I was a very naive girl. And I was close to my parents and whatever, and I just couldn't see, and they couldn't see my going and living off campus someplace.
Mm-hmm.
And it just wasn't for me. So I just decided to go to the University of Pittsburgh.
And, oh, good.
And I went there and was happy and
mm-hmm.
Joined the sorority. I became an AFI. And I think, I did well there. I was got my B.S. in psychology, but decided that I didn't want to go on with anything in psychology. So I had, a nice life.
Did you live at home?
Yes.
You lived at home and went to school. Everybody lived at home.
Everybody lived at home.
Right. Yeah. They didn't even have dorm space for people then.
No. And who would have even thought of living at home?
Right.
So, and I was happy there, and so I never thought of going away again. And as I said, I had a very happy home.
Uh-huh.
And I had a very independent life. I mean, my parents, I came and went as I wanted, and mm-hmm. they certainly did not in any way interfere with my life or tell me when or how to do anything or whatever. They just were there for me.
Right.
So,
that's a neat feeling.
It was very, yes. Mm-hmm. In fact, I feel fortunate because a lot of the girls at that time, their parents insisted that they become teachers because it was such a, at that time, considered a nice life for a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents never told me what to do, and I think, which I'm very fortunate because then I came out and I went out and just looked for a job.
Carved out a career.
And carved out a career, mm-hmm. which turned out to be really a very, very nice one for me and interesting. So,
what was, can you describe the city as you perceived it, living here in Pittsburgh? How did you perceive it? What did you think about living here? How did it, can you describe it from your vantage point of growing up in Pittsburgh?
Well, Pittsburgh very much was Squirrel Hill.
Right.
It really was. I mean, when I think of my life, I mean, it's no different than, you know, you had the Y down in Oakland, and we never went to the Y.
Mm-mm.
And now when you see what the JCC is, it just shows you the difference.
It is a tremendous difference. That's very perceptive.
Yeah. I mean, I find myself, I mean, you know, just having lived out of town now for a while, coming back and seeing so much life.
Mm-hmm.
around the JCC and, and so many people I know are going there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do feel that when you talk about a Jewish life,
mm-hmm.
I don't think when I was growing up that there was much of an emphasis on Jewishness of activities.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, where do we go? On Saturdays we went to the movie up at the Manor Theater.
Uh-huh. Right.
And as far as Jewish activities or a B'nai B'rith or whatever, mm-hmm. any of those different, I mean, any of those little groups, I don't remember being part of any of that.
I think the push was to become Americanized and secularized.
The big thing, I think, was after the war,
mm-hmm.
was when, because of what happened,
right.
and Jews were accepted every place,
right.
That this is, I think there was this movement to be almost like a Christian Jew. I mean, people were moving where? They were moving out. Now they could move to Mount Lebanon. They could move to Fox Chapel.
Mm-hmm.
They could go to resorts that were mm-hmm. Formerly. And I think that this is what happened.
Mm-hmm.
There was a movement. In fact, wasn't there even with the temple? There were people that broke away from temple who they felt that too much Hebrew was being taught there, I think.
The temple?
Yes. There was a group that went up someplace and had their own, services.
Is that right? Look how Reb Sholem was.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, Reb Sholem did not have any Hebrew. Now
but,
they have
But
Hebrew.
They had some, but there was still a group who didn't, who wanted less.
Less. I never knew about that.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
That I didn't know.
So
there's a group now that would like less because it's become
very... Well, it has changed a great deal.
Yeah.
But in those days, I mean, it really was.
Right.
I mean, there was just not an emphasis on Jewishness. And so I think that's where I notice a big change now. And I notice it with the services
mm-hmm.
that I go to and with all the organizations.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and it's a need evidently that now people need
mm-hmm.
because of the of so much intermarriage, I think, that has affected it, and so to hold on, and plus the fact the stressful times, I think, mm-hmm. it's changed of where.
Are you still a member of Tree of Life?
Yes, I'm still a member of Tree of Life.
Okay. So your recreation growing up was to travel and to go to the movies and to, I don't know what, eat lunch at the Beacon Pharmacy?
Well, when I was a child, yes. Uh-huh. And what, you went skating or, went ice skating down here where I live. Now my building has replaced the old Duquesne Gardens. Mm-hmm. And, but her life was pretty much Squirrel Hill. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and it was, in a sense, small town. And, that's, you know, that was, well, but don't forget also with transportation. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't have that many cars. My mother didn't drive, didn't have a car, so we relied on my father.
Right.
And I took the streetcar to Pitt.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so... I remember you got 3 checks for a quarter.
It was wonderful.
And so, you know, and you knew how to use your feet and your legs.
That's right, walk. Took an
Uh-huh.
Okay. Are we ready to talk about your professional career? Have we gone too quickly? Is there anything that we've missed?
You want to go over your notes?
Well, no, I think pretty much.
Do you think we're caught up with, because she's had a wonderful career, and before we get into that, you think we've covered? Okay. All right. Tell us about your career.
Well, I came out of Pitt, and
What year was this?
1950. I graduated in June of 50. And most girls, I guess, when it came down to, and I guess there again, as I said, I was immature, I was naive, I didn't realize that most girls went to college to get a man. I couldn't wait to get out and get a job. What kind of a job, I didn't know. But at any rate, I started to look, I guess, after the summer for a job. And I got a job at Saks Fifth Avenue. I worked there just a short time, and they had me in unit control, and it was awful. It was something you had to wait till business was over every day, and you worked at comptometer, which I couldn't really do very well anyways. But they decided to get real comptometer operators and whatever. And so the manager told me to go up to Gimbel's, and maybe they would have something for me. As it happened, Gimbel's had just signed an agency from Washington, D.C., the Enders Advertising Agency, to come to Pittsburgh and put on a Gimbel's Shoppers Review daily, Monday through Friday, for an hour.
Where?
It was on television.
Put it on television.
Put it on television.
A
on
Shopper's w- Review.
It was called Gimbel's Shopper's Review.
Uh-huh.
And it was on Monday through Friday. I think it was like 1 to 2 o'clock. I think that was the time. It was an afternoon show. And,
instead of the soaps.
It was what?
Instead of the soaps.
Yeah, well, that was, they came later, yeah. And it was on WDTV, which was our only station at that time. It was put on at the Chandler College.
It wasn't KDKA, wasn't it?
Oh, no, WDTV.
This was earlier.
Well, that preceded. WDTV eventually became KDKA.
Was that Westinghouse TV, WTV?
No, WDTV was Dumont.
Oh, okay, Dumont.
Dumont Television, yes.
Okay.
So that Westinghouse came later.
Okay.
So...
what was the program? What did it do?
It was an hour, and it had all types of entertainment.
Oh.
And it had, Bill Brandt was the MC at the time, and he had just come off of radio. He was quite popular on radio.
Uh-huh.
And so he was on, and Joe Mann and Elaine Beverly, did you ever hear of them? They were a song and dance team. And people who would come in from out of town, you know, entertainment that would be at the Nixon Theater or whatever, they would be on different segments, and then you'd have fashion, cooking, all kinds of, you know, it was basically like a ladies, they called it, ladies type show.
Uh-huh.
And
they were not just showing their merchandise.
Oh, no, no, no. They had their commercials in between.
I see.
Okay. No, this was just a
variety show.
A variety type show.
Mm-hmm.
And they were doing...
We have to turn the tape back.